He was a rare man. He was an unusual man living in the desert. His companions were lizards, scorpions, and snakes. His world was a giant sandbox living in the desert. He was alone. He was alone with the sounds of winds and shifting sands, alone with the endless time of the desert, endless nights, endless days. His total life, 100%, was dedicated to God, out there in the desert and all alone. What else was there to do in the desert? There were no games to play, no one to play with, no one to talk to, no scrolls to read. What else was there to do out in the desert, day after day, night after night, except to talk with God, to be with God? His name was John the Baptist. And during the time of John the Baptist, life was not easy for those living in Judea. You think we have it hard with political dysfunctions in our day. It is nothing compared to with what the people of Judea had to deal with. They had to deal with the Roman emperor and the Roman government. They had to deal with the rulers of Judea, and they had to deal with the authorities in the temple, the religious authorities. In the beginning of the scripture that Christina read so well, with all of those hard names, it lists everyone that was ruling that day, and they were all bad people. They were in cahoots with one another. There was Tiberius, who was the Roman ruler, who is known throughout history for all cruelties that he inflicted upon people of Rome and Rome and his enemies. There's Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor that was known for hurting his Judean subjects. I told you a couple years ago, I had this kind of continuous little cough. And I went to the doctor, and she had it right away. She said, "Dave, you've got GERD, you've got acid reflux, you've got stress in your life. What stress does a pastor have?" I said, "Come to church and find out." And she was telling me that here in this bubble of Washington, D.C., we have one of the highest per capita rates of GERD, of acid reflux, in the nation. I'm going to say, "You've got GERD, you've got stress." And then she even told me, she said, "Vitamin D, where do we get our vitamin D from?" The sun. She said, "Washington, D.C. has the highest prevalence of lack of the vitamin D in the nation." And then she began to preach to me. She said, "You know, people get up in their homes and they're covered by their house, and then they walk outside, or they have a garage, they get in their car, they drive their car to underground parking, and they're in their workplace where they work, and they finish work, and what do? They get back underground parking, they get in their car, they drive to their garage in their house, they get out of the garage into their home. They never see the sun. Enjoy the outdoors. Get some vitamin D." And then there's the stress of the holidays, which should be the funnest, most spectacular time in our lives of the day, of the year. And we create stress. There was in the paper the other day, this article. It's titled, it's in the opinion editorial section of the Washington Post. It's titled, "I Ranked 100 Christmas Songs, Here Are the Worst 10. And it's by Alexandra Petrie. And I said to myself, who in the world would write this, and why would the paper put this in there? And then I found out she's a humorist. She's trying to she's trying to prick our nerves. And so, you know, so there was a site where she has men that she doesn't like. She hates them. And then she said, you know, go for the rest of the ranking. So I looked it up. And her number one carol that she likes the best is Good King Wenceslas. And then the second one is You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. And then I wanted to see about her the worst 10. And, you know, this poor woman, she has hate in her life. Listen to this. She has hate. She doesn't like number 91, Little Saint Nick. You know, that's the Beach Boys. She doesn't like 92, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Number 3, The Chipmunk Song. I grew up with Alvin and the Chipmunks. What's wrong with Alvin and the Chipmunks? Number 94, Linus and Lucy. I love that song. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, we played it for the Living Nativity, and we had it just blasting in here, and all the kids were just running around having a good time. Everybody was great. Linus and Lucy, come on, girlfriend. What's wrong with you? 95 and 96, Carol of the Bells and Silver Bells. And she says, I just don't like songs with bells in them. Well, so what? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I watched Rudolph last night. Who joined me from 8 to 9 o'clock? 98, Carol, don't bust my dad. Number 99, she doesn't like Do You Hear What I Hear? And she writes, a better name for this song would be, I assume you cannot hear anything I am saying, and so I'm going to repeat all the words twice. What is it about a star? A shepherd boy. And then her last one, I was just deflated. I was deflated. Her number one song she hates is The Little Drummer Boy. What's wrong? The Little Drummer Boy. Oh, my God. I watch that little claymation drummer boy every year. When I first came here and Spencer Cobb was a little kid, we asked him to dress up and he had his stocking hat and a little drum and he beat the drum on a Christmas Eve. What? She writes this, my hatred for this song, hate, has no bounds. I think it is because the song takes approximately 18 years to sing and does not rhyme. The concept of the song is bad. The execution of the song is bad. There's not even an actual drum in the dang song. Almost said a bad word. There is someone actually saying pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, which is frankly crazy. It's an insult. I cannot stand it. Nothing will fix it. Even the application of David Bowie to it. Every year I say, I hate this song. And every year people say, have you heard David Bowie's version? Yes, yes, I have, but I still hate the song. It's an abomination. Stress. So I came up with 5 things for her. I'm going to write this to her, too. Number 1, change the channel. When you don't like something, change the channel. I'll admit, you know, that Christmas in Washington, I just don't care for that. What I do, I don't hate the song. I just change the channel. The second thing I would say to her is this. Breathe. The third is this. Don't have hate. Don't even use that word hate. I can remember years ago, and I said I hated something, and someone said to me, don't say hate, say dislike. And I've used that ever since. I dislike something. Don't hate. Don't put the word hate in our minds and our hearts at all. Don't hate. The fourth thing I would say to her is this. Read or see Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. She needs to see or read that book. And then the last one is this. I would say to her, go into the wilderness. Go into the desert. You need to find God. Into the wilderness. You know, the wilderness is used throughout the Bible. I think about the wilderness when Jesus led the Hebrews out of wilderness for how long? 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Young David, he thought that King Saul was going to kill him. And what did he do? He ran. He escaped into the desert. The prophet Elijah, he thought he was going to be executed. He ran into the desert, into the wilderness. Jesus himself, when he had the temptation, he went into the wilderness for how long? 40 days and 40 nights, preparing for a new life and a new mission. And so I would say that as Christians, we are all called into the wilderness to be clean, to cleanse our hearts and our minds and our actions and our heads. And we may think, where is that wilderness for us? Is it Sugarloaf Mountain in Maryland? Is it the New River Gorge in West Virginia? Is it the Potomac River? Is it the Shenandoah National Park in Virginia? That wilderness is that special place where we feel the powerful presence of God, where we are alone, where we are totally alone, and there is no one with us except for God. I thought of some of those places of wilderness that we might find God. We can find God simply by finding a place alone and reading the scriptures. Our wilderness could be when we come and receive the cup and the bread at Eucharist. Our wilderness can be at prayer. It can be in a closet. It could be in a home, in an apartment. It is that special place. It could be here, right here in this room, this sanctuary. You'll be surprised in my years here, during the week, people that come here and sit and pray. It's Doolin disciples, and it's people that come off the street looking for a safe place where it's just them and God. This is their place where they can be safe. It is their desert, their wilderness, where they are just with God. We're going to be having an improvement to our memorial garden in the spring of 2019, where we're going to put up one of those, a couple of benches in our memorial garden area, and then one of those little nooks. It's going to be a little, you open it up, and there's going to be some devotional material in there. There'll be an upper room, there'll be a Bible, whatever it is. So that if you need that place in that wilderness, then you can go right to our memorial garden and sit and be at peace with only you and God. The wilderness. Each of us is called to that place. And when we come out of that wilderness with all the people around us, people will sense something about us that we have had with God, and our message will be this: prepare ye the way of the Lord. Say that with me. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That, my friends, is the message of Advent. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.